We are in week number three, technically, of a series that we've called Thou Shalt Party. And we've basically said, or Steve has basically said over the last few weeks, that our faith, when you dig into it, you'll discover that our faith is about a whole load more than confession and introspection. We've said that, in fact, worship involves confession, yes, but also celebration. And Steve has just taken us through two of the festivals of the Old Testament. But when you look at the national holidays of Israel, you'll see the scales heavily tilted towards celebration, with five joyous occasions and only two solemn occasions. God wants us to celebrate. In fact, he even wants us to celebrate when there's a temptation to mourn. Pastor Steve shared with you over the last couple of weeks how he's had the privilege of leading his father from this life, praying him from this life into the next. You may remember that part of the illustration he gave to when he came home one night and saw his dad kneeling there praying, and he'd fallen to sleep. And Steve said, now it's my opportunity to just pray for my dad as he just transitions from this world into the next. Just want to let you know that last week Steve's father passed, and there will be that celebration of life for him over the next week. Just to pray for Pastor Steve. But if you picked anything up, you will have noticed that even in those moments where it is so tempting to feel overwhelmed, convicted, mourning loss, there is still the reason to celebrate. We have a hope. I want to turn you to a passage today that really jumped out at me a little while ago. It's Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. And what we're going to discover here is that in those moments where there is that temptation to stay in the solemn, God wants us to transition to celebration. Now, as you turn to Nehemiah 8, let's set the scene. The people have rebuilt the wall. They have gathered together to hear the word of God, the law of God being read. And so you have Nehemiah, who's kind of like the leader of the people. Then you have Ezra, who's the leader of the spiritual renovation on the inside of the people, and together with some of the Levites and the priests, they're actually reading the word of God out publicly. This is what we read in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. And so the law of God, the word of God, is being read to them. And as it's being read, one by one, people just start to weep. They start to cry. Have you ever been in a room where the word of God is read or taught and people cry? A couple of weeks ago, my son Jonas did something he'd never done before. He decided to be a camp counselor. I'm sure many of you have done that. He went a number of hours up north, and he was a part of just doing a camp counselor there. And on the Thursday evening, the speaker was speaking, and he said, Dad, it was really strange. One by one, the children just started to weep. He said, what was strange about this is it wasn't an emotional moment in the entire service. It was just normal. And he said, I just looked around, and camp counselor after camp counselor were looking at one another, wondering what was going on. And he said, one of the kids, who's obviously not used to crying, actually said, I think I must be tired. I need to go to bed. Have you ever been in a place like that, in a move like that? I'm privileged to have been a part of that on a number of occasions, where the Spirit of God is so overwhelming, is so convicting, that you just start to weep. Nehemiah 8, 1 through 8, that's it. Conviction. Now, what happens when people come under conviction? There's usually an action associated with it. And so with that context in mind, I want you to read with me the kind of action that Ezra and Nehemiah lead the people to make. And it's not what you think. Nehemiah chapter 8, reading from verse 9 through verse 12. You'll see it on the screen as well if you haven't got it in the Bible. So the people are crying. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Well, that's pretty obvious. They're all crying. So do not mourn or weep. Hey, wait a minute. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. We've already been told the first time they understood it. They got it for the first time. So Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Are you seeing this? Even in those moments where you would expect us to remain in the solemn, God comes and just basically says, Nehemiah, Ezra, stop them. Because this work of conviction has to lead to a celebration. Celebrate. I remember the day when the words of the gospel became real to me for the first time. I still remember that day in a little hall, much like Randy was describing a few moments ago, more like a gym. And there was the pastor at the front, and he was speaking the word, and I understood it for the first time. And I tell you, I was weeping, and I was prayed for. And after that, there was a joy in my soul that I've never been able to shake. It's incredible that when God gets you, where you were once crying, now you are just laughing. This is what happens here. God convicts. It's solemn. But then there's the work of God, and it leads to a celebration. But what does celebration lead to? What happens when God convicts you of something to the point where you are now no longer crying, you are now laughing? What happens? Let's look at the rest of the verses. The Levites calmed all of the people, saying, that jumped twice. The Levites calmed all of the people, saying, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Now get this. Then all of the people went away to eat and to drink, to send portions of the food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that have been made known to them. Now, what we see here is the leaders remind the people that while reflection and confession of sin are important, this has to be balanced with the celebrating who God is and what he's doing for his people. And again, note how he says celebrate. Go and party, verse 10. Go and party, but give gifts to those in need. In other words, celebration is a way of giving, because biblical celebration is not self-centered. Biblical celebration is not self-centered. Celebration led them to give, and that giving led to more celebrating by more people. See, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes on you and convicts you. It leads to a celebration, and the outwork of that celebration is invariably an action that involves you giving something away, whether it's your time, whether it's your talents. Well, for us over the last 3 years as a church, whether it's our time, our talents, and our treasures. The convicting work of the Spirit of God moved them from confession to celebration, and the leaders guided that celebration to show us that there is a connection between conviction, celebration, and giving. And so 3 years ago, we led this church on a journey where we said, listen, folks, we believe from Joshua 3, if we are only willing to jump in fully to what God is going to do, we will witness a movement of the masses that defies human logic. Those are the exact words that we said. And we said, here's what we want you to do. We don't want you to make a significant commitment, because significant commitments are all about money. What we want you to do is to make a commitment of significance that is right for you. That's a spiritual thing. So we invited you to go away, to pray, to seek God, for there to be a convicting work of the Holy Spirit on the inside. Why did we do that? Because conviction leads to a celebration of what God is doing. I know that some of you, when you put that number down and you went to your spouse and their number was three times higher than the number you put down, there was a lot of mourning that went on that day. I know the way it works. But you didn't stop there, did you? That conviction led to a celebration as you put in that commitment card, as you made that commitment before God. And guess what? Your celebration led to giving. And as a result of that giving, I want to tell you, people are celebrating right here in Holland and all around the world. That's the way it works. God convicts. We celebrate that, sometimes through tears. We give. And then God is glorified. So I just want to share with you for a few moments just some of the things that God has done. Through this stronger challenge that started June 1, 2016, based on the Water's Edge vision that we shared on May the 3rd, 2015, what we've seen is 1,224 people come to Jesus. And by the way, that is not counting how many hands are raised. That is actually people that we have had a connection with. That's the way we do that. But more than that, nearly 550 people have publicly professed their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, folks, make no mistake about it. That is a significant commitment. A number of you grew up in the Reformed tradition, and you realize the challenge there of being at your parents baptizing you for you, and you actually deciding to be baptized for yourself. But imagine what it's like in parts of the world where we work, where you stand up for Jesus and go through baptism. You are basically forsaking your tradition, and you are being kicked out of your homes. Pastor Sandy's wife left Islam, came to Christ, and for years was disowned. So behind the numbers that I'm going to share, I want you to remember that this is the move of God that we want. We want to see people transformed by the hope and life that Jesus offers. And we honestly believe that if we were willing to jump into what God was doing, we would see a movement of people that would defy logic. We, again, specifically said that we would actually witness people reaching other people for Jesus in places we would never be, through people that we would never meet, because that's the way the kingdom of God works. How many times does Jesus teach about the kingdom of God, basically saying, listen, the kingdom of God works like this. Mark chapter 4, a farmer goes and plants a seed, and he comes back to see if the seed has grown, and it hasn't, and he goes away, and Jesus says, it's in that moment where the farmer does not expect it, in a way he does not expect it, that seed grows. It's the way the kingdom of God works. Not always in the way we expect. Not always through the people that we would expect him to work through. And so we just basically committed to a kingdom work. And at the heart of what we do around the world and in Holland is one simple proposition. And it's simply this. All mission is local. That's it. At the heart of everything we're doing is this. All mission is local. This idea that there is global mission and local mission is not right. God invariably chooses to work through his people where his people are. So we say we're hands and feet of Jesus. Or we say the local church is the hope of the world in places where our Western missionaries can no longer get into. And so that proposition led us to redesign, to reconfigure even our own facility here. We said, okay, what would happen if the people of Central would actually realize that they're the hope and life of Jesus, they're the bringers of the hope and life of Jesus. They're the hands and feet of Jesus. What would happen if they would start to just do life with people who don't know Jesus? What would happen? One thing we realized is simply this. In the world that we're living in a nation that was, I'm going to say, culturally Christian, that is now fastly moving on from post-Christian, that means we've all heard about Jesus and yeah, past that. We're increasingly becoming pre-Christian, which means that there are kids growing up in our town who've never heard the name of Jesus, and believe me, I've met them. In that kind of environment, these people are not always going to be integrated into a Sunday morning at 9 or 10:45. It doesn't work that way, folks. And so if we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we're going to go out there and just allow Jesus to use us, we need to be able to introduce them into a community in a way that's a lot harder to define. It's a lot more unpredictable. So here's the principle, folks. If the future is unpredictable, you need more flexibility and variability. Spaces like this are not flexible. We need 800 people to make this room work. They're not variable. It's not a flat floor. See, if you're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we basically need flexible and variable spaces that are easily accessible, easy to reach, that we can actually open up at different points in the week without actually turning on the electric for and the air conditioning for the entire site, because that's bad stewardship. And that's what your giving allowed to happen. We created the legacy room. With 100 feet promise, we said, listen, mobility is a key issue as you get older. We believe that people still need to be reached, including elderly people. And so we created that legacy room with an 81 feet distance between the legacy room and this auditorium, the legacy room and an elevator that would actually take them into the newly configured multi-purpose room, which is actually the site of the first church on this site. Variable and flexible space. It's a flat floor. So many different things can happen. That multi-purpose room, for example, 75, I think it's on average, 75 events happen in that room every month. We can't do that in here. You know why? It's not variable. It's not flexible. If you're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, what God going to do? It's unpredictable. If it's unpredictable, we need flexible and variable spaces. So we replicated that from the legacy room into the student hub. So many things happen in that student hub. The multi-purpose room, we created the foyer out there as a lobby, as a park, place where we could all fellowship. It's happening over and over again. And what we've seen is more and more people are joining this movement. We're reaching more and more people because more and more of you are becoming the hands and feet of Jesus. Stronger was never about money. It was always about the move of Jesus. And we've seen 1,224 people come to Christ through this movement. That is incredible. In May 2015, when we unveiled this Stronger Water's Edge vision, 3,575 people basically were involved in our ministry. Now we see 5,267. That is 47% increase at the time that you've been giving. I tell you, your celebration has led to giving. Your giving has led to more people celebrating what God has done in their life. Folks, that's the way it works. And again, it's not about the number. I don't know about you, but this poor boy from Wales who grew up in government-subsidized housing, okay, the government basically paid for my theological education. It's a different model to what we have over here. I never took a sandwich box or a lunch box to school my entire life, because my mother couldn't afford to make me one. So the government gave me a hot meal every day. This kind of number is beyond me. 18% up. And these numbers, they're too big for my experience. Look at this. When we started this journey, the income was $6,695,407. Now this year, we closed with another record, $9,608,311. The problem with a number like this is that so many of you will think, wow, Central's got so much money, we don't need to give anymore. But I'll tell you, we're reaching more people because you do. Some wise sage told me, I met with a wise sage from the church, and I said, how do I lead the church through the fact that the top three income years in Central's 125-plus year history have been over the last 3 years? It's been as we've recognized the importance of giving ourselves away, investing what we have in people all around the world, taking what we do really well and giving it away. How do I do that without kind of counteracting the fact that we still need people to be generous? How do I do it? And this white sage said to me, Craig, if you would go back and look over Central's history, you will discern that whenever there's been a growth in attendance, reaching more people, there's invariably been a growth in income. Go back and look. I thought I could only go back as far as 1970, but believe it or not, we still have the old kind of rolls on this big kind of paper going back as far as 1890. And so I looked. And from 1890, whenever the people in the church decided to be the hands and feet of Jesus and share Jesus, we reached more people. And when you reached more people, there was more income coming in. And that income was used and invested to reach even more people for Jesus. That's the way it works. And what was amazing, you're looking at this, right? So over that time period, we're seeing an increasing attendance of 47%. We see an increase in income of 43.5%, 18% in 2019 alone. What was the attendance increase? 18%. What was the income increase? 18%. They're going hand in hand here. We're reaching people. People are getting on fire for Jesus. And it results in more giving. And folks, we need that to continue because we're reaching more people. Now, as a part of Stronger, what we asked you to give to, we also asked you to give to the idea of reaching more people through local leaders using local knowledge in the town where God has placed them. We said there has to be another move of God besides beaming one pastor's face all over everywhere. We have to empower local people. Why? Because that's at the heart of the move of the church. Why? All mission is local. It's not global. It's not beamed in. It happens when we're the hands and feet of Jesus. And we said, folks, we want to invest money. And we invested $1.3 million that you gave in this network. You can see the growth. But what I want you to know is last year, $1 million came back in just from these campuses in West Michigan. Just last year, we invested $1.3 3 years ago. And now this year, 1 million of that is starting to come back in to reach more people for Jesus. You see, when you make a kingdom investment, God brings the increase. It's sacrifice on the front end, but in the long term, there's so much more in return. That's not prosperity theology. That's what God says. Sometimes that blessing is material. Sometimes that blessing is something else. But when we invest, God gives. But it's not just something that's happening throughout the world. It's something that's happening here too. And so what we see is we built the Playland. And since March 2017, when this thing opened, just under 100,000 people have checked into the space. Think about that. 100,000 people have checked into that Playland. Nearly 30,000 of them are unique. But get this, 85% of them have got no connection to Central. And 340 children have plugged into our Central Kids Ministry as a result of that Playland, which is a result of you praying, you being convicted, you celebrating, you giving. A lot more people have a lot more to celebrate. Can you think of another ministry in that church, Randy Johnson said a couple of months ago, that has had that much impact on the community outside? And remember, a lot of these people don't just have no connection with Central, they have no connection with Jesus. The vision was about jumping into a movement that would reach a mass of people. And it's happening right here in Holland, and it was possible because you gave. I want to wrap this portion of the message up by just reading you a letter I got in from a couple in our church. I'm going to call them Bob and Jane. Bob and Jane were here in 2015 and 2016 when we unveiled the vision for the Playland, and a lot of what we were doing in Stronger was really clear, but the Playland, they couldn't quite get their head around that. And I realized that I stood up here 4 years ago as a freshman in a sense. You were struggling to understand my accent. Hopefully that's a little bit easier for you. And then I come up with these weird kind of ideas, and some of you are coming up to me and say, Craig, can you explain this to us? How on earth is this thing going to work? Yeah, and I tried my best, and a number of you were basically faithful enough to just go seek God like Bob and Jane and just make a commitment. Let me just share their story with you as we bring this section of our service to a close. Pastor Craig, when the Stronger Challenge began, Bob was just starting his consulting business. As one would expect, we were both concerned about having enough income to meet our basic expenses, yet alone giving an additional amount to the church. We both prayed about it, and as God would have it, we each came up with the identical amount to give. That was probably an "Oh, Jesus" moment right there. God had this in control. Bob's business was blessed. We were not only able to meet our giving commitment, but this past year, we gave a significant bonus to our pledged amount. We saw the need for the stronger challenge. What was vague, however, was the need for the playland. Now, when we found out that literally thousands of new people have entered our church for the first time because of the playland ministry, we were amazed. Knowing many of those first-time visitors have become regular church attendees is exciting to us. God was at work through this playland. Now, here's what I love. Look what happens next. On a personal side, both of us help on the first Thursday evening of each month in the playland area. That evening, the playland is open specifically to special needs children. Let me tell you, we have about 50 special needs families that actually use that playland on a Thursday evening. 50. Bob greets the families as they enter. He says it is so neat to see children come rolling up in their wheelchairs or running up to the doors of the church with gigantic smiles of anticipation. Although the parents look a bit weary, Bob can see the look of thankfulness as they enter the church with their children. During the evening's activities, we see these children playing safely with each other and parents, interacting with like-minded parents who get it about raising a child with special needs. Jane helps in the playland. She talks and listens to the mums and the dads too as they're beginning to come more often. Praise the Lord. She loves to watch the children play, to smile over friendships that they have developed and laugh at the eagerness of several of them as several of them begin playing their favorite game, zombie tag. Whoops! Jane has seen how beneficial this time is for the mums as well. The encouragement they give each other, the love, the understanding, and the advice that they share. You see what's happening there? Community, folks. Community. People need community, and in that place, there's community forming. Just because we created a space. They love their understanding and advice they share. So many stories we could tell. We thank God for the playland. What was vague to us in the beginning shines so clearly right now. And at the close of the evening, we see happy, exhausted children leaving with parents, thankful to see their children having had so much fun. Seeing all this firsthand has been incredibly heartwarming. We certainly have been blessed to be used in this ministry. We are so pleased that Central had the vision of the stronger challenge. The ministries this helps truly shows how our church family not only cares for the spiritual needs of our community, but the special needs also. Church, stories like this, letters like this, are only possible because of you. And all we want to do today is just say, firstly, thank you. That's it. Thank you. The giving's already gone. There's not going to be another offering plate. Thank you. Thank you for being the type of congregation that is willing to go before God and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And thank you for being the type of congregation that when you are convicted by the Spirit of God, you actually get to the point of celebrating what God is doing together with us. That's why we call it a celebration Sunday. And then I want you to know that your celebration that's led to giving has resulted in thousands of people in our own community and around the world celebrating Jesus with us. That is a work of the Holy Spirit.